Well, for all of you that are not there yet, it's 1 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 3, we'll be back in verses 8 and 9. And as we close out the study in 1 Peter, it's kind of hard to go on without summarizing some of what we've already talked about. And I was looking at that this morning. You could run every lesson in reverse order, and it still makes just as much sense as it does now, because they all relate to each other that much. But the trait we're looking at this morning is a word that appears a total of 3 times in the Bible. It shows up 3 times in the Bible, and the word is courteous. However, in the other 2 times that it is mentioned throughout the whole Bible, both in the book of Acts, it's courteously. Not courteous, but courteously. And so the word courteous only occurs this one time in 1 Peter in the form that it is right here. If you search the whole Bible, I went to like 3 different softwares to try and find it. 3 times. And 2 of them are courteously. So interestingly enough, this is also the only time in the Bible where it's mentioned as a command, or as a something you ought to do, or something that is part of the traits of Christ. This is the only time it's mentioned that way, simply because it's the only time it's ever mentioned. And the other 2, it's mentioned courteously, as with someone putting somebody up for the night, or someone doing this for me, it was courteous. So it was courteously. Both times, I believe, it was Paul, and one of them was with Silas. We're going to go ahead and read the scripture, and then we'll just go ahead and get right into it. But it's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. It says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." Now, as I have a habit of doing, I'm going to go ahead and follow my original structure and give you the definition of the word courteous. I'm not going to give the modern definition because I got too frustrated with that, but we're going to go ahead and just read the 18:12, where it says, "Marked by respect for and consideration of others." And this is echoed in 1 Peter by the verse about honoring all men, like we heard about here recently. But what does it mean to be courteous? Now, the definition, of course, reads that it's marked by respect for and consideration of others, which sounds a whole lot like what we talked about last week in pitiful. But you got to look at it this way. Pitiful means looking on at someone else's situation. Being courteous is just looking on people in general. It has nothing to do with their situation, how they act, what they think towards you. It has nothing to do with your opinion. And as we've talked about before, opinions should have no place in the kingdom of God. So you have to put all that aside in order to figure out what courteous actually means. Well, to be courteous is to what?
Be polite.
Be polite.
Respectful.
You see, being courteous isn't just one thing. It's being polite. It's being respectful. But what do all these have in common?
Selfless.
Selfless and mindful of your fellow man. Mm-hmm. So to be courteous is not simply to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, but it is an attribute of it. Mm-hmm. It's not simply holding the door for somebody, but it's an attribute of it. See, being courteous is a whole lot of little things that come out of being courteous. I'm sorry. Everything else that you have is an attribute of being, of having courtesy and being courteous to other people as is commanded in the Bible. So being courteous simply allows for mutual respect is one aspect of it. It's that being courteous and knowing what courtesy is from the Bible will allow you a mutual respect for everybody. The respect that is in this word has a deeper meaning than most people take as courteous. When you think of courteous, first thing that pops into my mind, maybe the dealership mentality, is called a courtesy driver. You know, why do we have a courtesy driver at a dealership? We call them courtesy drivers because it's a courtesy not to the company, it's an expense for the company, but a courtesy to the customer. Because it's respect for their time. And if they have to go somewhere and it takes us too long, they can be shuttled somewhere or we can pick up their car. A courtesy driver, because we are respectful of your time and of your business. And, you know, the more mad you make people, the less they come back. So, you know, that has an aspect in there too. But we'll get into that later. Keep that in mind as we go forward. In today's world, there's no common respect for anybody. Not whether they're old, whether they're young, whether they're a veteran, whether, I mean, it's just there is no common respect. There's no core respect for anybody in the world today. There's a solid mentality of having to earn somebody's respect, and that's a product of the breakdown of society that we see in front of us here. Right here, we are commanded from the Bible to respect all men, but we constantly conform to this idea and preach to our children that people can lose respect under certain circumstances, and they must earn it back because you, again, get to decide who is deserving of the biblical principle of courtesy. One thing you'll see, and this is pretty common, whenever we hire anywhere from 16 to 20 years old and beyond, really, but that's the core age, is you're going to see a lack of common courtesy. And it almost, you expect it when you hire them in. You see it enough at the nursing home where you hire these people in, and you kind of just expect them to have some core values that you can build upon when you train them for the job that you've hired them into. One thing that we severely lack nowadays, because everything's fluid, is what I call a job description.
Yes.
When you sit down and interview somebody, I believe a job description is to be given to see if they have the faculty of mind to perform those duties.
Yes.
We have totally lost that because you just hire somebody in, train them, and that's what they do. And what we get away from job descriptions is because we may have more we want them to do later, and then they can say, that's not in my job description, mm-hmm. as I heard a lot at Walmart. And so a lot of companies have come away from job descriptions and call it a loose idea of what you will be doing. This also is a retraction of courtesy from the employer to the employee. Because now they don't even have the courtesy of knowing what their job actually is.
Yeah.
In the most recent 3 years of my working career, I've decided that there is no such thing as a job description unless you create it. Unless somebody takes initiative for their department and creates a job description. And everyone's kind of leery of that because, like, well, what if you miss something and then they don't do it? Well, you know, you can't amend it. And at the same time, if you're paid by the hour, then they pay you to do whatever you're told to do. But again, a common courtesy lack takes that away too. So the breakdown starts here and ends where we are today, where there is absolutely no idea, no thought, no consideration for anybody. Not even as something as simple as somebody who pays you for your time. You've signed a contract and you sell yourself for $11 an hour.
Right.
And if they tell you to go sweep the floor, that's what you're doing. If they go tell you to go change oil, that's what you're doing. Unless it's not in your job description, because now we're entitled. Well, it's not my job description, sweep floor. I'm supposed to stand here and check people out. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. I'm just paid to stand here and check people out. Okay, well, all right, so when you're on your phone, I guess I can stand here and check people out and check you out the door because that's not in your job description. But it doesn't go both ways. Again, because courtesy is lacking. There is no mutual respect or common courtesy to others. So this biblical principle, because we're so for ripping biblical principles out of the world, has destroyed the world because the world can't stand outside the principles of God.
Right.
And society, because this is the pillars of society, when you break them down, the society collapses.
That's right.
So just these few that we've examined in this verse in the past 5 weeks shows that outside of godly principles, you cannot have a society. And what you're seeing now is the manifestation of the pillars of society being dissolved and taken away. So how important is it for us to teach our children common courtesy as a starting point? Dorothy and Lucas, we have a lot of talks with them about this, about how you listen to this person. Not because they're this age, or not because they're this person, but because you are a kid and you listen to adults. It doesn't matter what adult. You listen to adults. Because that's how you are. I mean, if they tell you to do something, you don't go ask your mom if you have to do it. I mean, that's just the way that it kind of is. You know, there's boundaries there, but we all understand what I'm getting at here. You're a kid. That's the start of the foundation of common courtesy. Because it's a consideration of their authority. It's a consideration and a respect for who they are in your life. If I hire an old tech, he's the service manager's associate. Furthermore, I usurp authority when he is not there. So that they know the chain of command, that if he's not there, they listen to me, and if I'm not there, they listen to him, and even if I am there, and he says no, it's no. I call him mom and dad. He's dad and I'm mom. You know, I let him get away with a whole lot more stuff. And so I kind of help him out and baby him a little bit, and he's just there to crack the whip, you know. I said, but when dad's gone, you know, we're not having a party. So, but it's the same basic principle. There's a chain of command that is set up. But because there's no real common courtesy, there's no respect for that.
Right.
Because we haven't earned their respect.
Yeah.
And if they decide that you're a pretty cool guy to work for, that's when they listen to you. And so we've almost changed our management strategies. Not so much in my company, but, you know, in general, to where we have to win over the associate before we start being the manager, which is terribly, terribly backwards. And, it's, you know, yeah. I do believe in catering to the associate to a point. You know, make them comfortable in their job, make sure they have benefits, make sure they understand and have a good training and are notified of changes before they happen. You know, that's called courtesy of the company. That's our part. But their part is to do what I tell you, no matter what it is, because that's what the company is doing. So if you work for the company, if your name tag still says Baldwin, that's what you're doing. And if you still choose to clock in and do your job, this is what we're doing, and this is how you're going to do it. But there's no common courtesy. Because even if you have earned their respect as a boss, now that you're doing something they don't like, you've lost your respect.
Yeah.
And I don't have to do it because my way works better, because I've worked here longer, because I've done this longer, because you don't, exactly, you don't do my job every day, and I know my job better than you know my job, even though I wrote the job description.
Right.
Because of the breakdown of this simple command of courtesy, it makes the entire world a harder place to live and to work in. Because there absolutely is none. So being courteous allows for that mutual respect for your boss, for your father, for your friend, for your co-worker. It's just an all-around respect and honor for all men. Because of the nature of disrespect, I've almost found it to be the main ingredient in being trapped in sin completely. Because recognizing that someone's disrespected you is one thing. But you can come to terms that's between them and God. Because in the end, they're not disrespecting you, they're disrespecting God.
Right.
Because you live godly principles under the mind of Christ, and that's how you try to live. So now you're not you yourself, but Christ trying to live through you, and so they're ultimately not disrespecting you. You following? Okay. But when you make the decision to disrespect somebody and justify in your mind why they don't deserve your respect,
right,
you've made the decision to shut off the godly principle and replace them with your own worldly wisdom.
That's right.
And it's only with selfish reasoning that you decide that you won't bestow your respect and consideration on one person.
Mm-hmm.
I hear it a lot that this person has lost my respect. Usually it's me. Whatever. You can't change policy and not be the bad guy. But we're back to petty reasoning. Okay, why have I lost your respect? Well, because you changed this. Okay, why did that make you lose respect for me? Well, we just ain't never done it that way before. Okay. Well, this is a better way. Why don't you try it and we'll just, you know, we'll come around the horn later. And if you don't like it, then you can leave. You know, whatever. But, you know, it's that mentality. You do something I don't like. Your dad does something you don't like. And by the world standards, it's your prerogative to lose respect for your father because he doesn't understand what you're going through.
Choose not to.
Yeah. He chooses not to understand your perspective.
Mm. Yeah.
Your teenager perspective with your 40 years of experience. One thing I hear from a lot of teenagers is, he just doesn't want to look at it from my point of view. Like, yeah, because your point of view is flawed because you're losing. If you step out of your shoes into her shoes, then you're losing how many years of experience, filters, and purview by looking at it from your perspective.
Choosing to chuck it off.
Mm-hmm. You dispose of wisdom and knowledge to try and come to her understanding. When her understanding is flawed because of the situation that you put out and the experience you've had. And it's the same with all children. My children love to have cakes, like every 5 seconds. So you give them a cake and 10 minutes later they'll come back and ask for another cake. When you tell them no, they're sometimes if they're tired, there is a meltdown to be had. Because you don't see from their perspective why they should have another cake. And you tell them, son, we're going to eat dinner here in about an hour. We don't need to have a cake. I don't want to eat dinner. Okay, that's all not even well and good. But you're not getting it. And sometimes it ends in a sit-down time because it's absolutely that way. Because you just need to sit down, chill out, and rethink your life just a little bit. I mean, in three years, you're melting down about a cake. Let's think about this a little bit. Go play your toys. But you see, that's where the meltdown has come. Because we've allowed that meltdown to turn into a teenager with no experience wanting $15 an hour to flip burgers. Because they're entitled. There's no respect for the company, the company's money, the company's time, the company's resources, all in all. I don't care how bad the corporation is.
Right.
If you sign a contract saying you're going to make $10 an hour to flip burgers, you don't come in there and demand $15 because I think I flip burgers faster than anyone in this joint. I should get a raise. One guy come in and said, I need a raise. I said, okay, let's talk about it. He goes, yeah, let's talk about it. I said, okay, well, what do you do? Okay, well, I change oil. I do this many oil changes a day. I sell this many air filters. And he just went on with the stats. I'm like, okay, awesome. So what do you do that's above and beyond? And he goes, dude, I do this many oil changes a day. I'm like, okay, did you sign something saying you're going to change oil for this much money? Well, yeah. How long you been here? 3 months. Okay. I said, so what do you need a raise for? You're not seeing it. I'm like, I'm seeing it. And you're doing good. That's what we tell you every day. You're doing good. But that's what you're paid for.
Mm-hmm. It's your reasonable service.
I know. I said, and 3 months, dude. He said, well, I just think I should be up for reevaluation for a higher wage. I said, we're paying you according to your experience and what you deliver. I said, if that's the way you want to do it, you start dropping off. I said, I'll just cut your pay. He goes, well, you can't do that. I'm like, well, I'm not going to give you a raise for doing your job. And he just got up and walked out. But that's the mentality we have because, again, we have absolutely no respect for the company's time and money.
Right.
All that matters is how much I'm getting paid for how much I'm doing because I'm doing an awesome job. Let me tell you, 8 oil changes and rotations, when you work 8 hours a day and you do 1 rotation and oil change in an hour, that's your reasonable service. In fact, it only takes 15 minutes to do an oil change and we give you 30 and you still take the 30. So do you really need a raise? Again, no consideration. You give them 30, they will take 30. You give them an hour, they will take an hour. Anyone that takes 30 minutes to rotate a normal set of tires doesn't deserve a raise. But you see, that's where the breakdown is. The pillars of society are gone, and that's what you end up with. And when you live and work in this world, you need to understand that if you have courtesy, you're going to be the only one. And your benefit is not in this worldly confine. It's in the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And it's because God commanded us to be courteous, that we should be courteous. And it will be noticed. However, it may not be repaid. But this comes back to doing it for the correct reasons and not the selfish reasons. Being courteous also removes pride from every situation. The root of this mentality, of this entitled mentality of, you know, earn and lose respect based on your own judgment, is a state of pride. This word, of course, means proud or disdainful behavior or treatment. So, it says behavior or treatment. So it goes both ways. Either you're doling out the treatment, or you're doling out the behavior. You're the recipient of the treatment, or the doling out the behavior, rather, is a better way to put that. We have a lot of preachers out there that preach selflessness, if I can say that 5 times fast. But those are the same people out there touting numbers about their church. And they put heavy emphasis on their church. The lack of courteous behavior displays nothing more but the hypocrisy that many people use as an excuse to dismiss Christianity. The trait abandons selfishness for the mind of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and so on and so forth. And there's no two ways about it. You're either prideful or you're not. So why is rooting out pride so important in this purview of courteousness? Courteousness? Courtesy.
There you go.
There we go. I'll find the right word. But it's just like we said at the beginning. It's selflessness. And so the root cause of all this that we have going on, all the situations at work and at Walmart and on the road that we experience, is the root pride. Because you deserve to be treated better than that. You deserve to get paid more than that because you're an awesome person. Because somebody somewhere told them how awesome they were, and to keep them at work, and we do this with certain technicians, me and a service advisor call it the babying method, because it's the only way to keep them around, keep them working, is to tell them how awesome they are and how fast they did that job and how great they're doing every day, all day, every time you call them. Because if you don't, they tell you how they're going to walk out and they're going to quit because they know you have it on a wire because you can't find technicians. But to get production, because they're paid by the turn of the wrench, not by the hour, to get production, you have to inflate their ego a little bit to make sure they keep going. Like, yeah, I did that job and this. Man, you're so awesome. That is so great, man. It was a 3-hour. You did it in 2.5 hours? Are you kidding me? Wow. That's, and you just make a big of it that they took, you know. And they go, yeah, man, you know, I've been doing it for years. It's nothing really, you know. I fiddled around for like 10 minutes. I could have done it quicker. And you just keep feeding it, you know. And I wish I was kidding and exaggerating, but this is the way it is in the automotive world. And it's the same thing everywhere, because you got to blow them up to keep them around. Because the moment they feel like that, you know, they did that job in 2.5 hours, well, that's a good job, man. Thanks. That's under appreciation now. And under appreciation, legend, well, what are you talking about? Thank you. How about a raise? Mm-hmm. And that's everyone ever. You know, that's just it's a come around factor. Everyone asks for it every day. And you have to tell them, look, we do yearly evaluations. Well, you know, I do this good all year round, so I feel like I should get a raise every month. Because it's pride. You have to inflate their pride to keep them around. And that's because there is a element of pride in their work, and because they haven't been taught that they can take pride in their own work because they're doing it as unto Christ and they're going to do their best. It's their reasonable service to do the best they can for what they're being paid. Instead, we show them that the best they can do deserves a raise. Well, unless your best gets better, I'm not giving you a raise.
They were the kids whose mama said, if you'll eat your peas, I'll give you some peas.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right.
It is. And you know what? I had a kid, 18 years old, tell me that I'll start working better when you start paying me more. Mm. And I said, that's not the way this works, bud. He goes, well, I'm just going to keep working as I am. I said, okay. So I went and talked to the service manager, and he was gone the next week. I said, you're never going to get more production out of him. And his dad was worthless, too. But we're not going into that. But again, his dad was just as worthless for the same reasons. Mm-hmm. Why would you even hire the guy?
Exactly.
Because he's the greatest thing on planet Earth. And he'll tell you so. And he'll start for that wage, but he expects a raise after 90 days.
Mm-hmm. Do you a favor.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start there.
But you know what? We're going to talk. Okay, we can talk.
Awesome.
But why would I want to spend $2,000 to hire the guy and put him in all these systems just for him to walk out after 90 days? Because pride, unless you keep that terribly inflated, mostly by wages, then how are you going to... Because money's become such a status symbol that inflates pride, that you make X amount of dollars an hour just for doing this. And they almost tout it as how stupid the company is for paying them this much money.
Oh, yeah.
For keeping around. But they come to you and say, well, you know, I deserve this much money. But then they go around telling everyone else how stupid you are for paying them just for changing all for that much money. Mm-hmm. Double-mindedness, pride, selfishness is all encapsulated in about every associate you can find anymore. I know Seth has a lot of problem with his associates and everything, so...
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing some ideas out there.
Yeah. Well, I haven't gotten a raise.
You may want to talk. You may talk to him about that, bud. No, but you see, that's where we're going. And there are entire books out there to explain how to deal with this generation in terms of working with them. And 80% of them tell companies to throw them a 20, 50 cent raise to keep them happy. Because again, if they'll just buckle down and eat their peas, you'll get a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm. Or eat 2 bites.
Mm-hmm. Or eat 3 bites. That's my favorite number.
3.
But see, what I don't like is eating my peas. No amount of cake could get me to eat peas because I'm not a millennial. I'm a factual person. It's getting them to suffer for a little bit for a lot of reward. However, there's a terrible, terrible misbalance when in the end, peas are good for you. So you should sit down and eat your peas anyway because you told me to. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's even better if there ain't any cake.
Yep.
There's mm-hmm.
Satan, no dessert. And I tell the kids. That's why I tell the kids. They ask for a piece of candy for finishing their food. I'm like, why? I said, not every meal has to have dessert. And that's a very, very important lesson.
Yes.
Because it goes deeper than dessert.
Yes.
Not every meal has dessert, but in fact, in the long run, it's just better for you to eat all your food mm-hmm. with no reward, with no dessert, and no cake to ruin your digestive system after you've finished a hearty and nutritious meal
mm-hmm.
because all your nutrients are pretty much thrown out. So in the end, you just end up fat instead of healthy like you should be, just like when you spoil them with raises and bonuses all the time.
That's right.
Okay, everyone calm down with the fat jokes. There's the door, buddy. Cut that out. All this to say that courteousness or courtesy, there I go again. I need to stop making up words. I'm getting way too Baptist up here. Courtesy is something that is a conscious choice. The trait is something that must be enacted by the will and enforced by the soul. I can tell you that in an unregenerated state, this trait will not come easy. And when it does come, there will be ulterior motives, whether you realize it or not. I'm going to take a little segue here, alternate route, whatever you call it. But we, growing up, we had very few friends growing up, mostly because I guess nobody, my dad didn't like nobody. And now I'm figuring out why, you know. But anyway, I see these, okay, should back away from that one. But here's why, because you look around and you see people, you know, you see them all the time come to your mill where they have these friends, but they're not the greatest influences, but they're good people. And so they let these people come into their lives and play with their kids and they have sleepovers and all this other stuff, and they're genuinely nice people. But they don't have good habits. You once you get digging deeper, you figure out that they're not really good people. They're just good friends. But the only reason they have you as friends is because of the benefit of having somebody to call friends. And you have a group of people. You have a squad that you can run around with. And that's the thing nowadays, is if a girl doesn't have 3 or 4 other girls to run around with, 1 + 4 = 5. They don't travel in even numbers. It's a squad. And they have people they can text and call and Snapchat and all this other stuff. But they don't really know each other. Mm-hmm. They're just good friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why people get dumped so much. Because they don't know each other. And when they find somebody else that they like just a little better, they just move on with their life. And it's because they have no basic courtesy. They've decided right. that this person deserves their love, respect, and companionship for this amount of time. And when they find somebody else that deserves it more, this person no longer deserves it because there's only capacity for this much mm-hmm. courtesy in their life. So take that a step further. We've done that for years, and now they're all getting married. And they decide that person deserves all their love, compassion, and courtesy and everything for a little while. Until they find somebody else they decide deserves it more and works better for their stage of life. Because like it or not, people change when they get married because life does happen. And you grow up and you get a little, you know, you learn a few things and you change some things. And when that person changes something they don't like, just like the scenario we talked about a while ago, they dump them off and find somebody else that can deal with that change they've had in their life. Mm-hmm. So instead of being courteous and being considerate of that person, they just move on. This trait, whether we realize it or not, is something that will make or break the Christian life. Because it's an attribute of God that we ought to strive for. If you run these backwards, reading it backwards, be courteous. So it's looking on everybody with respect. And then being pitiful, looking on everyone's situation with that correct filter of the mind of Christ. Loving his brethren, which is looking on everybody and loving correctly, mm-hmm. not as the world would have it, not selfishly, not self-consumedly, not what that person can do for you, but what you can do for every person here. And then having compassion, which is taking action on the pity that you have on these people in everybody's life. And then finally being of one mind, which connects all these dots, which is the mind of Christ, which is just like the fruit, not fruits, of the Spirit, where it all has one thing. If you have that one mind, that mind of Christ, you will have compassion. You will love his brethren. You will be pitiful, and you will be courteous. And that leads into that verse that we've read, and I've not said anything about, verse 9. It says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called that ye should inherit a blessing. And it's not, that's like your mission in life. Don't return evil for evil, as Christ did not return evil for evil. And if you don't believe that, then you're not a Christian. Everyone talks about that eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth business. Everyone talks about that. He said, well, even Jesus said this. Wrong context. That's called misconstruing totally the words of Christ. It says right here, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing. Just because they do it to you does not mean that you should do it to them. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. In reality, that means do unto others what Christ has already done for you. And Christ has already shown all this to us. He has already been pitiful and had compassion on our situation. He's already loved us. He's already been courteous to us. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right. If that's not courtesy, I don't know what is.
Right.
Because we did not deserve that respect.
Right.
We did everything to lose his respect.
Right.
But instead, he respected and loved and had compassion on our pitiful situation that we did not deserve. Are these traits in you? Do you see them in your own life? Is there something we could all work on? I'm sure.
Yeah.
But have we really looked at them as something we should? 2020 was not a terrible year. We like to portray it as a terrible year because social media portrays it as a terrible year. The news portrays it as a terrible year. And if you're a sinner, it was a pretty terrible year. Because absolutely nothing happened that was inside the bounds of carnal blessing. But we miss entirely the blessing that we could have had. But now we're trying to carry it over in 2021. How about instead of examining everything that could have gone right in 2020, we look at what we should be doing right every day in 2021.
Mm-hmm. Right.
These traits here, I'm not going to say they're going to make you a super Christian, but it's the mind of Christ, which ought to be in us. It's not something that will improve our lives. It's something we ought to be doing with our lives. It's a command from God in his word that we ought to have these traits. Mm-hmm. If you're not displaying them, that may be something you want to look at. Study the Bible. Study out where you could do better in your Christian life, because we all could. These are the traits that Christ has put forth for us and that he has displayed for us already. And if you truly want to be like Christ, then you will be like this, like his word states. Understand these traits and live them out.